So this week is Parashat Korach, and it would be tempting to look at the episode of Korach as an independent episode, but of course I don't think you can do this. I think when we get to Sefer Bamidbar, what ends up happening is that we just have a series of events which just seem to follow one after the other after the other, and of course it is interesting to try to determine what the relationship may be between them. So we're going to take off from Pasuk Gimel. I know you can spend the whole time on Pasuk Aleph and Bet, so we're just going to try to get past the Vayikach Korach, what it may be that he took. V'kalu al Moshe v'al Aaron v'yomer lehem rav lechem ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim uvitocham Hashem. So the argument which is put forward is an argument that everyone is holy. Kol ha'eda, kulam kedoshim. Also, the use of the word eda may be interesting over here. What exactly is the eda? Those of you who recall, we had the eda used also in context with the meraglim. Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. Everyone is holy. Uvitocham Hashem, and God is within them. By the way, of course, the question then is, okay, so what? What's the? But they continue. Madua tenasu al kahal Hashem. Why do you put yourselves on top? In plural, Moshe and Aaron. Why do you put yourselves on top? Right? Because vayikalu al Moshe ve'al Aaron. It's on both of them. The rebellion is against both of them. And we'll see the responses as we continue. Why do you place yourself above? So we're skipping a little bit. Vayishlach Moshe likro ledatan v'la'aviram b'nei Eliav v'yemur lo na'ala. Moshe tries over here what I think we can call a divide and conquer strategy. He approaches Datan Aviran on the one hand, he approaches Korach on the other hand, which means he's trying to break down this coalition which exists. So he turns to Datan Aviran, and Datan Aviran, who, despite popular wisdom, have never really been mentioned yet in the Torah. I know that we've seen them every single, they've been all over the place. I do believe I've previously referred to them as the Cheech and Chong of the, which means nothing to most of you here. Yes. Of the, okay, it does to some of you, I see. of the Torah, but here is really where they appear. Vayishlach Moshe lekro ledatan v'aliram b'nei Eliyav v'yomru lo na'aleh. Moshe says, come, I want to talk, and they say, no. So part of this, why are you placing yourselves on top? So therefore, if you refuse to accept that he's on top of you, then you don't have to go see him. Because Moshe summons them, and they say no. And then we get a real good sense of the amount of chutzpah that they have. And for that matter, today you would call this fake news or rewriting of history or so on. Of course, they then say, in terms of their complaint, hame'at, right, isn't it enough? Ki ha'elitanu me'eretz zavat chalav udvash, lamitenu bamidbar, that you took us out of the land that flows with milk and honey, Egypt, to die in the desert, right? And now you're going to try to rule over us as well, the rest of the pasuk, which means af lo el eretz zavat chalav udvash aviatanu, v'tin lenu nachlas sadeh v'karim. No, we're not coming. And by the way, the particular response over here, I think the easiest way of reading this is that this is a direct response to the Chet of Meraglim, and therefore the fallout from the Chet of Meraglim, which means we are not going to a land which flows with milk and honey. But of course, this was said in a worse way, which means not only did they could have just said, you know, you failed at your mission. Your mission was to take us out of Egypt and bring us over to Eretz Yisrael, and now you have failed. And being that you have failed, you should step down, step aside, because that's the implication of failure. But they say it worse. No, we're not going to speak to you because we don't accept that you're on top of us. And secondly, and here's where, again, the real biting cynicism is, you took us out of a land which flows with milk and honey. Now, that's not exactly precise, but as I said, the only reason that they're able to even go in that direction is because of the aftermath of the Chet Meraglim, which therefore also tells us a little bit what must be the feeling in the camp, that we're stuck, we're not going, we're here, we're really, you know, staying in the desert, and therefore they're able to not just put forth their complaint, but they're able to frame it in the way that they did. Pasuk Tedvav, Moshe's response, V'yichar Moshe Ma'od. I mean, Moshe was very upset with this. V'yoma El Hashem, Al Tafen Minchatam, El Minchatam. He turns to God. don't accept lo chamor echad mehem nasati v'lo aroti et echad mehem, which is really interesting because it's not really a direct response to what they put forward, but it's also interesting that it's not a direct response to what they put forward in terms of I did not take a chamor from him. What does that have to do with anything? That's not relevant at all to what they have said. But it's also interesting because he says, Al tefen el minchatam, don't accept any offering which they put forth, because Moshe does know on the other side, and again, I'm reading into it, that Moshe did not succeed. Now, whether this is his fault or not his fault, obviously it's the Meraglim's fault, but he does see that this is a serious enough threat that he asked God, please not to accept. Pasuk Tet Zayin now flips it around, Vayoma Moshe el Korach. Now Moshe turns around. As I said, there's a divide and conquer. So previously the response was to Datan Varviram, but now the response is to Korach. Okay, again, Vayom Moshe al Korach, Ata v'chol adatcha hayu lufnei Hashem, Ata v'heim v'aron machar. Now part of what also needs to be broken down within this whole attack is who exactly are they attacking? This is something we've discussed in the past, and there's obviously at the end of the day there's going to be a combination. Is the major attack against Moshe? Is the major attack against Aaron? Is the major attack against God? Is the attack of Korach and the attack of Datan Aviran the same? Which means presumably the ones who are going to take the challenge of taking the Torah and dressing up as a Kohen and going and trying to do the Avodah, so that would seem to be really much more of a direct front against Aaron. In terms of the attack against Moshe's leadership, so that we heard just now from Datan Aviram, but again, as I said, that's something that we need to be careful about, and ultimately, and there's also something we've tried to look at before, that they have separate punishments, so perhaps that's also connected. So trying not to get ahead of ourselves, and Pasuk Ted Zion, Moshe reads it as, you know, you'll come in front of God, Atav Vehem V'Aaron Machar, that he understands that the challenge is in terms of Aaron, so let's see you against Aaron. Let's see how this is going to work. The followers, the other followers. Okay. Uchu ishmachtato natem aleim ktorit v'grafetim lefnei Hashem ishmachtato chamishim amatayim machtot. So now all 250 are to take the Ktoret, and they're going to offer the Ktoret. And now we all know, as the readers of this, that this takes us back to an episode which is not necessarily a Bamidbar episode, but it's an episode which is mentioned in Vayikra and Shmini, to Nadav and Avihu, that when they offered a Ktoret, Eish Zarah Shelo Tziv Hashem, that did not work, Lifnei Hashem, and they died Lifnei Hashem, that did not work out all that well. So it would seem to be that Moshe's response over here is that you know this is not going to work, you know that if somebody, again, think about the claim, Kulam Kedoshim, everyone's holy. Just because everyone's holy doesn't mean everyone's holy in the same way. I mean, that's very important. So therefore, where did we have an episode of somebody who tried to go up over their pay grade, who tried to, again, do something which they were not commanded to do, namely, that's Nadav Avihu. Nadav Avihu, then they took the Ktoret, and they go and they try to act in it. And again, it's interesting because when we try to compare what Nadav and Avihu did with later on what the Kohen Gadol will do on Yom Kippurim, Acharei Mot Shnei Bnei Aaron, where the Kohen Gadol will take the Ktoret and go Lefnai V'Lefnim, and go in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore, apparently Nadav and Avihu are trying to do something which they're not commanded to do, which is not necessarily part of their obligation or part of what their holiness would allow them to do. So Moshe's response to everyone being holy, and therefore anybody can replace Aaron, as Moshe seems to say, okay, let's take a Ktoret and see how this works out, should have been enough right then for them to say, okay, you know, maybe this is not the best. Let's try a different test. This is not the test that if I were them that I would try, of course, unless they were completely convinced that they're right, which apparently they do, which is why they all die. But continuing along the way over here, so Korach then does gather them. That's Pasuk Yudchet, Vayichu ish machtato v'nu aleim ish, Vayisim aleim ktoret, Vayamdu petach ohomoid u'moshe v'aron, Vayakahel aleim Korach et kol ha'ida el petach ohomoid, Vayirak vod Hashem et el kol ha'ida. Okay, now again, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe v'aron leim, where now God gets involved, Hibdalu mitocha ida hazot. Now we don't know what the word ida means. Again, we've had kula ida kulam kdoshim. So apparently, when Korach said that, he was talking about the entire nation. And later on, again, we have the word Eidah used. Now, God says to separate from the Eidah. So who is he talking about? Is he talking about the 250, or is he talking about the entire people? V'plu'a p'neim v'yomru. They fall on their faces and say, they pray. Kel elokei haruchot l'kol basar. It's also interesting and important where else that phrase is used. It's used one other time, so I'll leave you with that right now. Should I tell you when? Yes. It's when Moshe is told that he is not going to lead them in, and then he says that exact phrase, can you leave the nation without a leader? And then God says, okay, Yehoshua will take over. So it's a phrase which is used in connection with leadership. Let's leave that for now. They do go and they pray. Ha'ish echad yechtav v'al kol eidah tiktzof. Which means Moshe's reading it is that they are being manipulated and led by one person. Why should this whole Eidah of innocence be killed? We're skipping a little bit, going to Pasuk Kaf Zayin. Vayalu me'al mishkan korach datan v'vir misaviv, v'datan v'vir yatzu nitzavim, petach oleim u'nesheim u'v'neim v'tapam. So the phrase over here, yatzu nitzavim, how would you translate that? They go out. Yatzu nitzavim petach oleim. So what is nitzavim? Nitzavim could be stand to stand strong, but it could indicate a belligerent hafgana. It could a belligerency to how they're standing. V'yomer Moshe b'zot tedun ki Hashem shalachani. And now you're going to know that God sent me. So again, in response over here to Datan, so that's what I'm saying. Pay attention. There was this test in terms of Aaron. Now there is the response in terms of Moshe. Moshe's response is not that you'll know that Aaron is the chosen one at this point. He's saying, and now you realize that God sent me. So it's really the shlichut of Moshe that I want to pay attention to, because that is being attacked over here. And again, Pasuk Kafchet. V'yomer Moshe, b'zot tedun ki Hashem shalachani lasot et kol ha'masim ha'eila, ki lo milibi. I'm not the one who just made this up myself. Again, at the end of Pasuk Kaftet, it says, Lo Hashem, this happens, Lo Hashem Shalachani, means the test over here is whether I am the one who was sent by Moshe. Ve'im bri'ah yivra Hashem upatzta ha'adama et pia. And here he calls for the land to open up its mouth, ubala utam, v'et kol asher lahem. Now it's interesting, because before God says I'm going to swallow them up, and Moshe then prays, and over here Moshe says that the earth should go into and to swallow these people. Skipping a little, everyone started to scream and to cry. Ki amru pen tivaleinu haaretz. Maybe the rest of us are now going to be swallowed. Ve'esh yetzah me'eit Hashem, v'tochal et chamishim u'matayim ish makrivei haketoret. So you have the fake Kohanim, and then you have the fake leaders, those who are trying to take over from Moshe, those who are trying to take over Aaron. You have two separate punishments, which again reflect the two separate rebellions which are taking place, which have a common goal, and that is to get rid of the old leadership. Okay. So let's pause for a moment. If we look at Rashi, how Rashi is understanding the phrase Kulam Kedoshim, everyone is holy, Rashi takes us back to Har Sinai. Kulam Kedoshim, Kulam Shamu Dvarim B'Sinai Mipi Agvura. Everyone heard God speak at Sinai. Which really means that everybody at that moment achieved a certain level of prophecy and therefore holiness. Madu umadu atitnasu and lakachta atam alchut. If you've taken for yourself to be the king, lo hayalacha levarer lachicha kuna. You should not have chosen your brother to be the kohen. Lo atem levadchem shematem b'sinai anochi shem lakecha kol eidasham. We're going back that the focal point over here is Sinai. And I do want to remind us of a point. Where was it that Moshe himself was chosen? Moshe was chosen at the snap. So over here we have Moshe, you know, going back, and it's interesting to think about Moshe being chosen, because it wasn't exactly that Moshe ran for this position and he politicked and he did everything he could to get this job. This is like the furthest thing possible from the truth. And they're saying, you know, well, who are you to put yourself in charge? And Moshe's looking and say, I never applied for this. This is not something which I wanted. And he is, so Moshe's, when, and going back to the word that we used a couple of times in Moshe's words, he uses the word shalachani, I was sent. There's the shlichut. And we'll go back and we'll see a moment in the language where that's actually used, but it goes back to the snare. When Moshe says, that's in Pasuk Kafchet. Now you're going to know that God sent me. What is Moshe referring to? He's referring to the snare. On the other hand, when they say, and the way that Rashi reads it, Kulam Kedoshim, we were all at Sinai. So we have two different points of focus, but I do believe that those two points are, in fact, related. If we go a little bit further into Perek Yud Zayin, Source 3, again, a little, it, we see the focus on Aaron. Lo yikrov ish zara shelo mizera Aharon ktoret. Lefnei Hashem, only Aaron or Aaron's children, a Kohenim can do this. Then Pasuk Vav, Vayilun kol adat b'nei Yisrael, going back to that word adat, b'machrat amosh val Aaron lemar, atem hamitim et am Hashem, which means they're upset. You killed the people of God. V'yibe kaela idal mosh val Aaron v'yifnu ela o amod v'nei, kiso anan v'yar kavod Hashem. Skip a little bit more. Pasuk Tet, v'yidver Hashem Moshe lemar, harimu matocha ida hazot v'achaltem otan karega. Again, you know, separate and I will swallow them all up. V'yiplu up neim. V'yomir Moshe l'Aaron kachet ha-machte, v'tein ala ish me'al ha-mizbech v'asim ktoret. Now Aaron puts the fire and uses the ktoret, but now the ktoret that Aaron is using is really what the job of the Kohen is, and what's that? To bring about kapara, to bring about forgiveness. So all the fake Kohanim, all that they bring about is death, and the real Kohen, what he brings about is atonement, and therefore what is taking place over here is that Aaron, very similar, we have previously Nadav and Avihu bring the Torah and they bring death, and then afterwards Acharei Mot Shnei Bnei Aaron, Aaron is told to go take the Torah and go into the Kodesh Kashrim and bring about atonement. Yom HaKippurim. Here the fake Kohanim take it and they bring death, and now Aaron again is sent with the Torah in order to bring about forgiveness and again tone. V'chaper aleihem. Right, because there's already Ketzef, Aaron goes running with the Ketoret and so on, and then we're told Vatatzer Makifa, and then we have a test afterwards with the flowering staff and Parach Mate Aaron Lebeit Levi, and from this point on, people will know that Aaron is the true Kohen. But Pasuk Kaf Zayin has a very sad perspective. Vayomer Bnei Yisrael O Moshe Lemor Hin Gavanu Avadnu. Kulanu avadnu. Kola karev akarev mishkan Hashem yamut ha'im tamnu l'gvoa. We're all dead. It's over. We're all going to die. But by the way, it's true. They're all going to die. That's part of the background to all this, why you keep coming back to the Chet of Meraglim, that after the Chet of Meraglim, this is true. But it's interesting that we have, in a sense, two opposites that were just now placed in front of us. One was this perspective being said by Korach, we're all holy. So if we're all holy, we can all approach holiness. If we can all approach holiness, we can approach it equally because we're all holy, and we can all act as Kohanim. And now they realize that the Mishkan has so much holiness, we can't go near that holiness because the holiness is going to cause their death. You love the way they go from one extreme to the other. Everyone's equally holy, and therefore this is fine. And now nobody is holy because holiness is so scary, and we're all going to die from this. So it's interesting. And by the way, I will point out, there was another point that they thought that they would all die, and it was also a response to holiness. And when was then? That was by Har Sinai, which, by the way, takes us right back to hearing God speak, because it's interesting. Yes, we all heard God speak, yes, and you were scared to death when you heard God speak, and you said, you better stop, because we can't take this anymore, which, again, is a parallel to this exact situation, is that they all achieved a level of prophecy and holiness, and they're standing in front of God. And let's remember, right? Our famous Ramban, who points out that the Mishkan is a replication of Sinai. So therefore, just as Sinai is going to have this, on the one hand, this revelatory, prophetic, holy experience, but then there we know that there's also this recoiling from holiness, this fear of holiness, which takes place right after it at Sinai. So now we see the same kind of back and forth taking place. We can all approach this because we're all holy, and suddenly maybe we're not. Now, I want to read a couple of things because there's much more background that we're still not necessarily getting. But I want to start with source number four, Sefer Kol HaMeshivat Nefesh, as you see, Rav Yochanan ben Aaron Luria, he was from France, and he writes 1440 to 1514, he writes as follows, Ki kol eda kulam kedoshim. Now, that was claimed by Korach. Now, he does something very interesting over here, and essentially he supports that. By the way, it's true. I mean that's part of the problem. And this is where, you know, one can use the word demagoguery, because what would a demagogue do? He would take true information, but just then have the wrong conclusion. Right? One of the things that we need to do when we think is that we need to be able to, first of all, interpret evidence and see that there is evidence. But then the question is interpreting the evidence. What does the evidence say? Which means just because there's evidence doesn't mean that the conclusion is correct. I could say kulam kedoshim, nachon, kulam kedoshim. But what does kulam kedoshim mean? Does kulam kedoshim therefore mean that everybody has an equal ability to be Kohen Gadol? Which means, yeah, kulam kedoshim, but just the conclusion is not necessarily true. And as I said, that's where Korach seems to be misleading us. But what's interesting is that he's saying, no, but this is a true statement, that everyone is holy, and let's just look the way that he takes it. And therefore, what should my takeaway be from this? That a leader needs to be very careful about the holiness and the honor and the dignity of a community. Because in fact, a tzibur does have holiness. By the way, now there's two different conclusions I could have ended the sentence with. One would be backed by the snare, which we'll come to soon, and the other one is where he goes to next week, where Moshe says Shemuna Hamorim. Where he talks about, you know, these rebellious people again who are standing on top of him, demanding the water and so on. Where he hits the rock, so Moshe speaks in an inappropriate way towards the community and says, "Look what Moshe did." And Moshe was punished for this—a very severe punishment. Skip a line. V'kfar hizru chazal shelo yafsia harav arosh am kadosh. This is almost a literal thing. If a rabbi comes in late, he should not step on everybody's head who's all sitting on the floor in order to get to the place that he needs to get to. It's a phrase in the Gemara, Lo yafsia harav al roshi am kadosh, which I think should not be taken only in a literal sense. V'gadul shebekulum shehakohen ba'et haduchan tzarich lachzir. And he says, and I think the best example is that when a kohen is standing on the duchan about to bless the people, what does he do? He does something which is quite, in a certain sense, inappropriate. He turns his back to the Aron Kodesh, not to have his back to the people. Mishum kavod hatzibur. V'nirli hatam ki afal pisha b'tchilat ha-machshava adam roa hakal o eze tzibur shehim mekalei kalim b'ulay yesh achad mehem shelibu l'shamayim v'noeg b'kaloto l'shem shamayim. And then he brings an interesting Gemara. Let me at least tell you what he said. He said something which we didn't, after the whole introduction, we thought he was going to go a different way, but he doesn't. After his whole start is that the tzibur is holy, the tzibur is holy, the tzibur is holy. And finally he says, oh yeah, why is the tzibur holy? Not because they're holy, because they're not. Why? But rather, because it could be within the tzibur there's somebody who's great, but you don't realize it. So it's just very interesting how he just shifted and... No. Meaning, you, yes, but...
No, I'm saying it means himself. He's that person who's amongst the tzibur.
That's not what he's saying. He's saying is that the leader standing in front of the people should not look at the masses or... and look down on them. But again, it could be for two reasons. One is, of course, the masses really have greatness to them. Other is what he was saying the whole time till he shifted. And then he shifts and he says, because it could be within the masses that somebody's greater. Then he brings a very interesting Gemara, which we're not going to go into, which we probably should, and maybe another time. It deserves much more treatment. And it's the famous or the not famous Gemara when somebody bumps into Elio Navi and asks, is there anybody here in the Shuk who has a share of the world to come? And the one person that he points to is the guy who's not dressed as a Jew, doesn't look like a Jew, and so on. Just quickly, we'll read it. V'ra'ayami mesechet ha'anita pakai liyoza b'shuka v'lo ayaba b'hem shum adam shumuzman lo maba. First, anybody lo maba? He looks around and says, no. And then he says, rak echad shelo yelo tzitzit b'bigdo v'alach b'darkei agoyim im min alav shelo k'darkei yehudit Amnam asal l'shem shemayim kimvor hasham, but the person's intentions are really shem shemayim, as explained there. The end of that Gemara is when he then says, oh, there's two more people that have a share in the world to come, and those are the two jesters or clowns who bring happiness to people or try to make shalom between people. As I said, that Gemara itself is very interesting, but it really deserves to be studied by itself rather than just quickly over here. But his point was is that you look around the tzibur and you see people that you think are, you know, just part of an uneducated masses, and you say, no, there really may be somebody there. So the shift was interesting. But the other thing that is interesting here is that he's doing this whole interpretation, or giving this whole interpretation, when he's explaining Korach's argument, everyone's holy. So he says, you know, people be careful, because everyone is holy, or at least there may be somebody very holy within there. The Maharal, in source number 5, and again, the Gur Aryeh is a commentary to Rashi, so he is explaining Rashi here, Kulam Shemu B'Sinai, right? That's what Rashi had said. What makes everybody holy? Because everyone was at B'Sinai. The Ein Lefarish Kemashmo'o Kemo V'Tkadashtem V'Yitem Kedoshim D'lo Shayach L'Macharav U'Madu Et Nesol Kal Hashem Ki B'Shvil Shehim Tzadikim V'Kedoshim Ein L'Nasot Aleihem D'Shema Yesh Acher Yoter Chashuv V'Kadosh Avol Im Pirisho Kulam Shemu Mi'Har Sinai Anochi V'Lo Yelecha Im Ken Kol Ha'Eide B'Madriga Achat Shrei kulam sham umi pi Hashem. Ve'einon tzrichim l'shum acher sheye omeid bein Hashem u'bein Yisrael. Ki kol eda sham u'anochi v'le'elecha mipi agvura. So what was the phrase that he... Right. But what is the phrase, what is the claim that he's putting forth? Again, the claim, these are the words of Korach. He's explaining Korach. So how's he explaining Korach? That at Har Sinai, everybody achieved prophecy, but he just added in one more word. And equality. Now, the reason why this, you want to use the word silly, it's just not actually the way that the experience of the Har Sinai was described. Just continuing towards the bottom where it's underlined again, V'yesh lomar to kol uma v'lashon tzricha sheyeh lehem melech echad shu nechnas v'yotzei lefnehem. He goes, but at the end of the day, all this argument is not true because we still need leadership. The reason you need leadership is otherwise you have anarchy. So this is that everybody's holy and therefore no one's better than anybody else. So yes, comrade, right? That's very right. Everyone's the same, but you still need a leader. If you don't have a leader, then you're going to have anarchy. So even if you argue that everybody's holy, it's still not enough. Okay, there he said it. Even if everyone's holy, you still need a king. So why should Moshe be the melech? By the way, now we've already shifted. You need a melech. Which means the argument of kulam kadoshim does not help you that much. Shema acher, zelo kasha, demi acher tzorach lamelech, hoya Moshe kamo acher. Once you need anybody, so why is Moshe less qualified than anybody else? Lefichach ein lechlok, aval hakuhuna, hoya Moshe ein tzricha lehem klal. So it seems to be that there's two different issues. One issue over here is the issue of, do you need a king? Right, remember I said the attack on Moshe. And the other point seems to be, do you need a Kohen or Kohen Gadol? So if everybody's equal holiness, so again, what does that argument help me for more? Does it help me more to get rid of Moshe, or does it help me more to get rid of Aaron? So if I say everybody's holy, so then everybody should be equally holy in terms of approaching the Mishkan and being the Kohen. But it doesn't necessarily help me in terms of getting rid of Moshe. So that's why, again, I just want to point out there are these two attacks. Look at Rav Hirsch in source number 6. Again, explaining the complaint of Korach, Rav Lechem. Kol Eda, lo rach bichlala avachol prateha, kulam kdoshim vishchina shara bikirbam. So again, everyone is holy and they have the Shechina in their midst. Kol echad mishishim ribo b'nei ha'eda hu kodesh v'karov efol Hashem. By the way, this is much closer to what Rashi had said. Why? Because Rashi said, what made them all holy? Because they all heard Anochi. If they all heard Anochi, then they're all equally holy. So again, every single one of the people there are holy. Lefichach ein tzarech b'kohen shivateh b'shmo et machshavotav ve'et higiyav v'karev otam l'Hashem b'korban. So again, to say everyone is holy, this is what I was hinting at before, therefore I don't need a Kohen. And God said that my Shechina will be on all of them. V'lo yachid kolshu, l'fichach ein Hashem zakuk l'navi, k'dei l'avi et divro la'otam shishim ribo. So now he just now wants to backtrack and say, no, it's not only Aaron who we don't need as a Kohen, it's also Moshe we don't need. And again, if everybody heard the Anochi, then everybody is a prophet. If everybody's a prophet, I don't need Moshe as a prophet. Everyone's close to God and God is close to everyone. So he's understanding here why the argument of Kulam Kedoshim actually gets rid of both of them. And therefore, finally, he says, therefore, the leadership, the need for leaders is one which is essentially a lie, one which is based upon they trying to push an agenda of claiming that there's a need for a Kohen or a need for a Melech, and the whole thing is not true. Again, that's he's reading all of this, is explaining what Korach had said. And even if you're going to claim that we still do need a leadership, right? You still need someone as leader. You still need a king. You don't want anarchy. Madua dafka Aaron v'Moshe. Madua lo tinatin zchut la'am levchor lo et netzigav. Why don't we have a democratic? So this is very interesting. Of course, right, when you have a 19th century commentator reading a democratic process into the complaint of Korach, whether Korach really wanted there to be a vote or not, you can decide for yourselves. But I do want to just point out one more thing. I'll finish this. Where he says, why should they put themselves? Let's have a vote. Let's have a democratic vote. So does democracy have anything to do with our choice of leadership? So I just want to point out a Rambam, which could be understood in more than one way. And let's just think for a second. I'm saying this parenthetically. Let's just think for a second. When a king is chosen, right? So a king is anointed. So how is a king chosen? Maybe that's a very hard question. So how is a king chosen? It's sort of like the joke about a Kohen. How do you become a Kohen? Because your father was a Kohen. How do you become a king? Because your father was a king. So when I say when a king... No, but I'm talking about a legitimate and within... So look at source number 7. The Kol HaKodim B'Nachala. So now we're talking about the continuation of kingship. Right, so he's talking about how a king's job is inherited. V'kol ha'kodem benachla kodem liyirushat hamalucha. Just like any other point of inheritance, the kingship is also inherited. So therefore, there are rules. V'arben hagadol kodem lekatan mimenu, and the older son therefore would take precedence over a younger son. V'lo malchut bilvad elakol asvarot v'kol aminim shebisrael yirushat levino. I mean, this works in all kinds of things. And he says, but that's only if the son has wisdom and fear of God. If he has fear of God but not enough wisdom, then we teach him. Then we have a chance. Right? Which itself is very interesting. Which qualities are more important? The komi she'ein bo yirat shemayim afal pisha chachmato murba ein mo'inel tov leminui min aminim Yisrael. Then that person is not chosen. Now he just now talked about king and moved over to all kinds of things. Kevin shenimchach David zachah b'keter malchut. Once David was anointed, so the kingdom was with the Davidic family. V'rei malchut lo ulevanav zochim ad olam, and therefore it's inherited by him and his male descendants forever. Shenemar kisachah yeh nachona. Ad olam, v'lo zacha el l'ksherim, but only the ones who are quote unquote kosher. The one v'lo zacha el l'ksherim, and it's only the sons who are worthy are the ones who will end up getting the kingship. Afal pi shelo zacha. Read the last line. So what the Rambam understands this is, yes, David was given the kingship, and it's inherited afterwards, but it's only inherited by those who are deserving, as he had just now spelled out regarding all kinds of inheritances. Who decides? Just a very simple question. We just now see that in order to inherit, one needs to be have chachma yira. Who decides? Who decides if somebody's worth it or not? Now, I'm not saying that this is always going to be very practical halacha. Certainly, within politics of the palace, and whoever has the army is probably the one who decides. But that's not what the Rambam is saying over here. The Rambam is, again, it's one of two possibilities. It's either the Sanhedrin, either the Chachamim, they go and, you know, okay, the king dies, the new king, the son wants to inherit, they bring him in, and they test him. And then they vote, and they make a decision. So the king, as strange as it may sound, is decided upon. And by the way, the other possibility is that the people actually vote on this. I mean, again, this is not spelled out clearly, at least not over here. So, I mean, as strange as it may have sound that Rav Hirsch was throwing in, oh, the people get to decide. Okay, the people, all the people's representatives get to decide by virtue of voting. And therefore, even though we never perhaps would have imagined this, because you would have thought this was automatic once there is an inheritance of a royal line, the Rambam seems to be saying that's not necessarily the case. Okay, so let's return. So this claim over here that everybody is holy is actually following off on another claim which came a little bit before, and we can go back in source 8 to somebody who says, Harak ach b'moshe diber Hashem, halo gam banu diber. So who was the one who said this? Miriam. So Miriam, by saying, does God ever only speak? No, God speaks to other people as well. So I don't know if you realized it at the time, but look at the way that Korach has now taken that claim of Miriam and just sort of embellished it a little bit. Who is Miriam apparently talking about? She's apparently talking about her and Aaron. At least that's the way we always would have read it. Right? Although Gambanu Diber, right? We always would have understood that Banu, God spoke to us as well as being Miriam and Aaron. But I'm just saying, is that what she said? I would assume so, but it doesn't make that much of a difference because Korach is basically saying the same thing. Hold it, did God only speak to Moshe? God spoke to all of us. So when did God speak to all of us? God spoke to all of us going back to Sinai. And again, to stress another thing, and that is the whole episode of Miriam comes immediately after the 70 people who are going to be helping Moshe also get prophecy. So now prophecy has spread, so this argument that all of us are holy is interesting. By the way, what is God's response? No. You see, we just had this already. God spoke to us as well. And what does God say? What are you talking about? Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Shimon Advarai, Im Yenu V'yachem Hashem Amarai Eila Advadeh V'chalom Adaber Bo. Lo Kenav Di Moshe, B'kol Betineh Manhu, Pe'o Pe'a Adaber Bo. Meaning, what are you talking about? Umadua Lo Yereitim L'daber B'avdi B'moshe. Why are you not afraid to speak about my servant, speak about Moshe? But now you realize that perhaps on some level, Miriam speaking about Moshe does impact on this later going from this micro to the macro. Again, assuming that that's what Miriam really said. So that's interesting. And I've already said it in passing, but following Miriam saying this, then we have afterwards in Source 9, Perek Yedalad, as a result of the Meraglim, we have a challenge against Moshe's leadership. Vayelino Moshe v'al Aaron, kol b'nei Yisrael, vayomer leim kol ha'ida, again that word ha'ida, lumatnu b'eret etzmayim v'marizu lumatnu, v'loma Hashem, although it's interesting here, the attack is against Hashem, why do they take us out? But go to Pasuk Dalet, vayomer ish elachiv netna rosh v'nashuv v'mitzrayim. Let's get new leadership, which means the Korach rebellion is not something which just happens as an isolated, independent occurrence. It's something which has followed other things. You know, there was attack against Moshe specifically in terms of Kulam Kedoshim, and there was attack in terms of the leadership. What's different over here is really the attack against Aaron. That's what's really different from the other ones taking place when one can determine which one came first. But where was the first attack against Moshe? Who was the first one to attack Moshe? Source number 10. V'yetzei b'yom hasheni v'nei shnei anashim ivrim nitzim. Now that nitzim is something which Chazal didn't miss. Where else did we see it? Where? Just now. By who? By Datan Vavira. Exactly. So over here, it never says their name, but it says that there are two people, Nitzim. Vayomer l'rasha, lama takeroyach, vayomer, mi samcha l'ish sar v'shofet aleinu. Who made you, right, the judge? Who made you the ruler and the judge on top of us? Right, the Rishonim already note, is Nitzim and Nitzavim, is it the same? And is it a similar root, is it a similar word? But over here, the more important part is the next. Who put you as Sar V'Shofet Aleinu? So the first one, and by the way, what's interesting about this? This is before Moshe was chosen. This is before Moshe received the mandate. Over here, they say, who put you in charge? Now, what are Chazal going to do with, again, just to remember, what do Chazal always work with? Our theory of conservation of characters. And therefore, people challenging Moshe over there will be the same people challenging Moshe here. Look what Rashi did. In 11, Shnei Anashim Ivrim, what does he say that none of us should be surprised about? Datan Vaviran. Hem Shotiru Min Haman. They're the ones who also did the thing with the man. By the way, by the man, it says some people. It does not give the name who they were. I mean, Rashi could have put a stronger case, but he didn't. He wanted to teach us. But he could have built a stronger case had he wanted to by saying, oh, look, it's the same attack in Parshat Korach, but he stays away from that. You know, where the people of stone, you know, the people of stone say to Lod, who made you the judge, who appointed you judge over here? So Moshe is accused of being a self-appointed judge. Now over here it's interesting because nobody did appoint Moshe, which really goes back to a much deeper point, and is this the shlichut of Moshe? The shlichut of Moshe, I was going to say, the shlichut of Moshe, when does it really begin? So is the shlichut of Moshe when he's born, or is the shlichut of Moshe is when God chooses him? Now, it's very clear as you're reading through that first chapter or so of Shemot, is that Moshe's being chosen is very deliberate by God in placing him in the palace, and by virtue of being placed in the palace, he therefore has a certain position. And who made you in charge? Well, what are you talking about? I'm part of the royal family, you fool. But it's interesting because he says, you know, it's Vayomer mi samcha l'ish sar v'shofet aleinu, you know, over the Jews. Who put you over the Jews? So, of course, and on a certain level, it's an absurdity, but another level, as I'll say, he's the first one to have challenged. So, finally, we need to get back to this place that we have Moshe being chosen, or Moshe being sent. And all of us remember, we hinted about this earlier, is that Moshe does have certain hesitation or lack of interest. Or it really comes out of humility, which interesting, the humility is only told us after Miriam speaks about Moshe, says Moshe was an Av Mikol Adam, and then we're told about humility. The humility really comes out over here, so let's take a look a little bit in source 12. Vayom Moshe Elokim, mi anochi, right? Mi anochi kilech el paro, v'ki yotzi yip b'nei Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim. Vayom ki ya'imach, right? Who am I? God says, I'm with you. And again, that's where we have the word, who sent me? That's why it kept coming up in our parsha. This is the sign that I sent you. So what just now happened? Because I said that the different focus between, or foci between, where Korach is coming from, or where Moshe is coming from, Moshe seems to be referring to the shlichut, which is by the snare, while they seem to be focusing, or Korach seems to be focusing on Har Sinai, when God said Anochi, and everybody heard it. So now God just now linked the two of them together, because Sinai and the snare are in fact the same place, and you're going to come and serve God in this place. And the question, of course, is what is that referring to? Moshe then challenges or asks, or is befuddled, Vayomer Moshe Elokim, Yinei Nochi Bel B'nei Yisrael V'Amarta, V'Amarti Lehem Elokei Avotechem Shalachani. Again, I'm sent. I'm on a mission. I'm a shliach. So we'll skip a little bit. They're going to say the name, and we'll skip that again. The end of pasuk tav. Yes, shalach. Tell them shalachani lechem. Again, I am the one who sent you. V'yomer od elokim amoshe kol tamar bnei Yisrael Hashem elokei avotechem elokei Avraham elokei Yitzchak elokei Yaakov shalachani alechem. So again, it keeps going back to this point of the shlichut. Pasuk yud. And we just now skipped, you're going to take them out to the land that flows with milk and honey. Pasuk Yudched, v'shamu l'kolecha, they're going to listen to you. Uvanta atav v'zeknei Yisrael melech Mitzrayim, they're going to listen to you, and you and the elders will go to melech Mitzrayim. Now, how do you understand that pasuk? They're going to listen to you, and therefore they're going to go with you, or they're going to listen to you and then have them go with you. Because I don't know if you remember this, but that was the great scene that they're all in back of him, and then and each one gets lost along the way, which means here is something very disturbing. This is the part that we should begin to get very worried about. Moshe was just told, you are my shaliach. And God says, v'shamati l'kolecha, they're going to listen to you. V'shamu l'kolecha, they're going to listen to you. Uvata, so is that part of the same thing? They're going to listen to you and they're going to come? Or is that they're going to listen to you and is that separate? Uvata tav v'zikne Yisrael melech Mitzrayim. V'amart aleihem, and tell them so and so, and ask to go. Then God says, and this is part of the confusion, v'niyadati ki lo yitein, I know he's not going to. Pasakav, v'shalachti et yadi, v'keti et Mitzrayim. Again, a different, perhaps, type of shlichut. Continuing in Pasuk Aleph, which is already the next parak, Vayan Moshe v'yoma v'heim lo yaminu li. By the way, who's right here, God or Moshe? It's not a nice thing to ask. Moshe says, go, they're going to believe you. And Moshe says, they're not going to believe me. Okay, I say, so that's where it becomes very interesting. But they're going to say, lo nirei lech Hashem. God did not appear to you. So then what's in your hand, the matah, and throw it down, becomes a snake, and so on. And then, okay, now they're going to believe you, right? Pasuk hey, l'man yaminu ki nirei lech Hashem l'kevod, so that they'll believe you. V'yomar Hashem lo od, pasuk vav, like put your hand in, take it out, and his hand became tzarat, which, by the way, it could very well be that this is a punishment for not believing in Am Yisrael. Just like we saw before, was already hinted by Kulam Kedoshim, you have to believe in Am Yisrael. He doesn't believe in Am Yisrael, so he gets struck with tzarat. Pasuk chet, vaya, and this is the pasuk that should scare all of us. V'imlo yaminu lach, v'lo yishmu l'kol ha'ot ha'rishon, v'minu l'kol ha'ot ha'acharon. So hold it a second. God just said they're going to believe you, but if they don't believe you, then if they don't believe you, then do this. V'ya imlo yaminu gam l'shnei ha'otot ha'ele, v'lo yishmon l'kolecha, but if they don't believe this, they don't listen to you. V'lakach tu mimei ha'ar v'shafachti yabasha, v'yo mayim asher tikach mani ha'ar v'hayu l'dam v'yabashet. So then we'll do this whole thing. We'll start with the whole blood and water and so on, which is very interesting because this should not be something which really gives Moshe a great deal of confidence. Yes, they'll believe you, and you're my shaliach. No, don't believe you, do this, and then they'll believe you. But don't believe this, then do this. And they'll believe you. But don't believe this, then do this, and then they'll believe you. And we're left looking over here. We're not sure what to do. But what was the first thing that he said? That as far as the shlichut goes, which is all the way back in the beginning of Source 12, Pasuk Yud Bet, that kita avduna delukim elahar hazeh. So that refers to a source in Source 13, Pasuk Perek Yutet. V'yom Hashem Moshe, hine enochi ba ilecha ba'et ba'av ha'anan ba'vur yishma ha'am bidabri imach v'gam b'cha yaminu la'olam. That this is already the instructions right before Har Sinai. I am going to speak to you in front of them, and then they will believe you forever. So again, we just have to ask about this. What does this mean? They will believe you. So that's why it's good you came today.
If Hashem says this to him here, then why, when Miriam raises the exact same challenge, and Hashem says, Moshe, only Miriam and Aaron hear it, why didn't he say that in front of everyone and avoid the whole Korach thing because it's the exact same argument?
So I'll say it again. Why wasn't it enough that when God speaks to him already at Sinai? Well, I don't have to go any further. Well, that's not what it says here. It says that all the people get to witness God speaking to Moshe. So let's look at the Ramban in Source 14. The Ramban... Right. It's exact opposite. That's really what I wanted to get to. It's the exact opposite of what God... Again, go back. The whole question over there is Moshe... The whole question we're dealing with today, in case nobody's clear why we've been looking, where we've been going. The whole question today is Moshe's shlichut has been challenged. Are you really the leader? Who appointed you leader? And Moshe's like looking. Can you imagine now Moshe going back to the conversation by the snake? I told you they wouldn't listen to me. And God said, right? And no, that's really what it goes back to. And God there said, don't worry. By Sinai, I'm going to speak to you. You're going to come back to this mountain. And this is what it's referring to. I'm going to speak to you. And everyone's going to see you speaking to you. And then they're going to believe you forever. Forever. Right? It's like when someone says, I love you forever. Right? So like sometimes forever is not as long as one thought. So let's look at the Ramban now. The Ramban is in this week's parasha, source 14. Kiasu shtayim ra'ot, where it's underlined. Bazu al kvod harav. They did two things which were wrong. One is they rejected or they humiliated their teacher, their leader, Moshe. V'kafru b'kol ma'aseh Hashem asher asah b'Mitzrayim b'Bamidbar gam b'Ma'od Har Sinai she'ne'emar bo v'gam b'chayaminu la'olam. So the Ramban is saying that it's a mitzvah, v'gam yaminu l'cha b'olam. It's a mitzvah for them to believe in Moshe. It's a mitzvah to know that Moshe was the one that God spoke to. The Ramban is saying it is a mitzvah. It's proper for them to believe, and therefore one of the things which they did which was wrong, the Ramban says, is that they rejected that God spoke to them, which means that they are rebelling against. So this is very interesting, because I would have thought that it was a promise. I would have thought it was a reality, that God is saying, no, they're going to believe you forever. Exactly what the issue is, but... So therefore, again, Moshe is standing over here, right? They're going to believe in you forever. And he's saying, no, they've rejected this. So you could have said, how can they reject this? So let's continue. V'heimar Moshe eino kedai lishterer aleim v'lo ba'alehem al yudo rak ra. And they're rejecting and saying that nothing good has come out of Moshe's leadership over here. V'zeh tam lo Hashem shelachani klal otzim Mitzrayim ketam asher shelcho Hashem lasot be'eretz Mitzrayim v'zeh lacha od kenochi shlachticha v'chein ki Hashem shelachani la'asot et kol ha'masim ha'eila, masim asher ra'itim b'neichem, ramaz l'kol asher asam b'yom sh'amar lo l'cha v'ashlecha lo paro, ki t'chila b'yato navi yikor shlichot. So you realize now that everything that I just now did was actually these three lines in the Ramban, where he's saying that they're rejecting everything, and again, it goes back to at least Perek Gimel, maybe Perek Bet, it goes back all the way to Perek Gimel, it goes back to Perek Yotet, it goes back to when Moshe is chosen, goes back to Har Sinai, and all of this is rejected, and all of the signs are correct, and therefore ultimately God. I just want to point at source number 15, which is the Tor HaAruch. We don't have the Tor HaAruch in our Mikraot Gedolah. We have the Tor HaKatzar, right, the abbreviated. The reason that they abbreviated the Tor is because they wanted to stick one more book in. But what did they cut out? A large part of the Tor's commentary is actually restatements of the Ramban. It's a large part. And then he had a bunch of gematriotes. They cut out, like, I don't know, a number or percentage, 80, 90%, they cut out. And they just left in all the gematriot. You think that's all the Torah did. That's all the Bala Torim has. But the Torah actually, as I said, is a commentary which brings the Ramban far more often than not. And he says one thing here, which I believe he's explaining the Ramban. For the reason I say that is, Katav Ramban, he quotes him, and then he explains. V'lo mar al... Right, I'm going to skip a little more. V'omrim she'en shamashkacha b'nivraim klal. Which means, why was it necessary for Moshe to say, open up the land, do a miracle that never happened before? They needed another miracle. Why do they need a miracle? Because Moshe is understanding that they've just now rejected the 10 plagues, and they rejected the splitting of the sea, and they rejected everything that they've seen till now, because that's part of what they, again, needed to reject, because Moshe was involved in all of these things from the beginning, and they had rejected Moshe, which means they rejected the miracles, which means they rejected God, and that's why Moshe is requesting there to be another miracle. And I believe that's the way that the Torah over here understands the Ramban. That's therefore he just goes one line further than Ramban went, but I believe that in reality it's the same idea. In source 16, we're back to the Meshivat Nefesh, although this time we're in Perek Gimel. And he says, "Botziacha etam b'Mitzrayim ta'avdun Elokim al harazeh." Masha pirish Rashi etim heim lekabel Torah l'sof gimel chodeshim. What does it mean that we're going to serve God in 3 months? You're going to come back to this mountain to receive matan Torah. The adarabah. Hold it a second. You know, this is proof that they're going to believe me. They're going to believe you. Adarabah asua ta'egel ad la'achar kami yamin. Which means, how is this exactly proof they're going to reject? Ze'enu kashe klal, ki kol dvrim midabrim behove uvragil, amnan harishut nituna biyad ha'adam l'shanotein l'tova o l'ra. So that's exactly what you said before, is that when it says, no, they're going to come and serve God on this mountain, correct, or they're going to believe in you forever, very nice, but they still have free will. We'll skip towards the bottom of this. V'timtz b'zota parasha v'shamu l'kalecha v'adaraba. V'lo shamu amosha mikotzer ruach mavodah kasha. Again, God says they're going to listen to you. And what does the Meshivat Nefesh say? Unless they don't listen to you. And he says, but that's pay attention to the text. If they're not going to listen to the first, they'll listen to the second, they'll listen to the second, they'll listen to the third, they'll listen to the third, which means God is telling us this. Yes, I'm going to do these miracles. I'm going to give them this opportunity to listen, but they may not. But no, again, this is back in Perek Gimbal, but notice what he did. I just want to read it through there. He says there's going to be signs and wonders, but they may not listen. Where does it say that? That's not here. He quoted the pasuk from Perek Yud Tet. They're going to believe in you forever. Right, he goes back. The Meraglim didn't essentially have that much faith in Moshe. Korach didn't have that. Yeah, they're going to believe in you forever unless they don't. Which means it's interesting because we would have thought that all of these things are guarantees. And they're not necessarily guarantees. The Akedat Yitzchak, source 17. She'im heima yumaminim b'mamadahu makablim makaimim. She'alu heim b'madrigot ha'nevuah b'chal la'am. Hinei al korcham yodu b'malat Moshe Rabbeinu aleim. Asher al yado hisigu ma shesigu me'ya nevuah. V'kol ikara ma'amadahu haya kedei she'yishma b'dibro imo. Which means he's going right back again to this same question. How is it possible that God can say to Moshe, they'll believe in you forever, when at Har Sinai they all saw God speaking? And if they did achieve prophecy, it was via Moshe being the one to open up the heavens, as it were, and to bring the prophecy to them. Which, by the way, if you notice, is also what happened when the 70 get prophecy, it's get from Moshe's prophecy. Later on, when Yeshua will get from Yeshua, from Moshe's holiness. So therefore, in fact, they all should have believed in Moshe. Amnam ha-kohunan lahem zal b'zeh she'im shayu mashlichim divrayim elu kimit halmim al derech ha-leit sanut. He goes on to claim that everything that Korach says is not to be taken seriously. He says, when Korach says everyone's holy, don't believe that. That's really what he means. He's saying everything over here is being said. His words, derech haleit sanut, that Korach is, again, you want to use the word demagogue, Korach himself does not believe what he's saying. Kemosha Amar, as the Medrash says, v'moshe leitzam lo yoshav, ze Korach she'amit lo tzeitzam moshe v'aron kemoshe avo, v'ninyan leit sanutam v'mamar ze, harishon shehoyu midarim b'piyam hefech mashi yirtzu'u b'libam. If you want to understand what Korach wanted, then just pay attention to what he says, and everything he says will be the opposite. So therefore, if he speaks of holiness, he's not concerned about holiness. And again, the whole thing about the talit shekulot chelet, all of this is shekavana, top of the next page, shenyan hu behefech. Which means he's really claiming that they're actually rejecting all of these things, where it's underlined a couple paragraphs later. So the reality is that Korach is somebody that do not believe anything that he said, because every word that he said was just leitzanut and was misusing words in order to try to confuse things. I want to try to do one more thing today, and that's the Chtam Sofer in Source 18. The Chtam Sofer is on the Pasuk in Perek Yud Tet, which is the preparations for Har Sinai. And he claims that it could be that we're misreading or misunderstanding what took place. God says to all of them, you will be Melech Kohanim Goy Kadosh. By the way, who else claims Kulam Kudam Kadoshim? Korach. So skip to where it is. Okay. Well, the comma, I know that the Rashi tells us, you know, there's Beit Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael and so on, the girls, the boys, and so on. Well, the comma Moshe diber im zeknei Yisrael, v'yanu kol ha'am, amar bavu yishma ha'am, v'divrei amcha v'gam echa yaminu lo'olam, nira li HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar l'daber im ha'monim, shehim Beit Yaakov v'hem ha'zekenim, shehim Bnei Yisrael miuchadim. That originally God said to Moshe to speak to the elders, v'yomer lehem v'yitim li skula, v'tem Zkenim shebedorot yoter mize, v'hu shetiyum amlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh, ela hadvarim pirish min v'atem v'chulei, t'deber dafka el b'nei Yisrael, heima zkenim. Achi shediber Moshe ze l'zkenim, lo ratzu Yisrael liyot ha'zkenim nivdalim, v'yanu kol ha'am, kasher diber Hashem, nase kulanu, ki kulanu niyem amlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh, v'hu tanat korach, kol edak, kulam kadoshim, umadua titnasu. V'amor Kodesh Baruch Hu, inei anochi ba'id lech ba'avanan, b'avu yishma am b'divrei amcha, v'lo imaim, ki lo yachlu lesbol, mishum u'mishom v'eilech, v'gam b'cha u'v'nevim aminu olam, d'lo k'korach, v'eidato. So when he's saying something's interesting, that may, it could be that something already went wrong by Matan Torah on how, on who accepted and what they accepted, but let's just, you know, back up a little bit and try to put everything into perspective today. We have over here an attack on Moshe's leadership. We have over here an attack on Aaron. We have here an attack on God. And to be able to surgically separate these three, I think, is really quite difficult because all of them come together. Again, it's possible that the different elements, mainly Korach and Datan Avira, may have different claims, and it probably is based upon background, but it could be that they're each looking for different things. Of course, Korach perhaps is easier to claim is what he really wants is to be the Kohen because of being Levi and jealousy in terms of the family, but I don't want to go any further on this right now. This claim that on the one hand everybody is holy, right? Everybody is holy is true. The only problem is what is the conclusion that everybody is holy. What we notice now from the Chatam Sofer is that at which point did everybody become holy? Well, that's when they all stood by Har Sinai. Now, that's what Rashi told us from the beginning. Everybody heard Anochi. But is it true that at Har Sinai everybody had an exact experience? I mean, quite the opposite. What should have been the takeaway of Har Sinai? The takeaway should have been exactly what the Pasuk says, that I'm going to speak to you and people will overhear me speaking to you or watch me or see me or speaking to you. But if anything, what should Har Sinai have been? It should have been the point of Moshe's elevation, or it should have confirmed Moshe's selection. Moshe's selection actually took place much earlier. When? So now you can choose. Did it take place already when he was born, which really the Haftorah would seem to indicate when it talks about Yirmiyahu, I knew you from your stomach, from your mother's womb, I already had chosen you. Was Moshe already chosen from birth, which seems to be, there's a certain degree of chosenness and being placed it within the palace and therefore being the leader. And who's the first ones to challenge this? Well, Chazal tell us that those who say, who are you, you know, why are you on top of us? Why are you the judge? Why are you in charge? Well, that, therefore, we say, well, this has to be, therefore, Datan Vaviran in our theory of conservation of characters. Moshe, for that matter, doesn't get really officially appointed by God when he's sent as an emissary, and Moshe is wonderfully very, very humble and he hesitates and he's not so quick to go, and will they really believe me? And they won't believe me. And God says, well, they will. And that's what we have to be careful about, because we would have thought when God says they will, that means they really will. But now as we really read through that chapter carefully, God says, yeah, they will, and they'll believe this first sign. But if not, they'll believe the second sign. If not, they'll believe the third sign. And if not, well, we realize that something else is taking place over here. And that is that we always have free will. Along the way, the very first sign, before everything else, God says, well, we'll get to Har Sinai. So what happens by Sinai? God says, they're going to speak to you. Everyone's going to see it. They'll believe you forever. So now we always would have thought they'll believe forever was a guarantee. So maybe I can put it this way. Am Yisrael will always believe in Moshe. But not everybody in Am Yisrael will choose to be a member of good standing in Am Yisrael. Not every single Jew will say, I want to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, they have the free choice. It doesn't necessarily say that it says the people will believe in you. Not every single individual will. Individuals always have free will. What Korach does over here, again, and that's what's interesting when we saw the Rashi and saw some of the other commentaries, is that they take Har Sinai, which is the very moment when Moshe should have been completely seen by everybody that Moshe was chosen, and they just flip that around and say, no, look, we also were able to prophesize. So we went so far even at the Kedah Yitzchak says that it can't be they really believe this. It just can't be that they believe such a thing because it just goes against logic. How can they? And it must be leitzanut. It must be that everything he's saying is just completely facetious and doesn't even mean this. Again, whether Korach or Datan and Aviram had any kind of sincerity to them is something which is worthwhile asking. But now when we look at this episode within the larger book, we realize the climate which has taken place. The most important element in terms of the climate is the wandering around and the lack of fulfillment of, or let me restate this, the lack of immediate fulfillment of God's promise, which means the delay within the promise. The delay in the promise creates within the nation a restlessness which is going to be manipulated by Korach. And I understand, there's nothing to lose. I understand where he's coming from. There's nothing to lose anymore, which means this whole generation is going to die anyway. So the whole generation is going to die anyway. So what difference does it really make at this point in terms of, oh, fine, I'll do another sin, I'll do this, which means the cynicism of this, and as I said, those who do capture the cynicism, is one which can only be born of this sense of helplessness within the community. When we went backwards, we realized that this is not isolated. We realized how Miriam's words may have contributed to this. We realize how the spy episode may have contributed to this, not just in terms of the sentence which is given, but even in terms of this reality that things are going to be delayed right now. And right there, we already saw a rebellion against God. Why did God do this to us? And we need to replace these leaders. We need to go back. And again, everything has now shifted within this general climate. So then you can have somebody who is perhaps very eloquent, and he's a good talker. And he's, again, kulam kedoshim, nachon, emet. What's the conclusion? The conclusion is, let's take place for Moshe. No, what are you talking about? Moshe is the one who led you to Har Sinai. Moshe is the one who God was talking about Har Sinai. God said, yaminu ba'olam, seder. So they chose not to. So just in case you say, hold it, how can they choose not to? But they always have free will. No one guaranteed that every single Jew is always going to believe. So on top of everything else, there is this rejection of Moshe, rejection of everything Moshe has done, rejection of the miracles, and that now gives us insight why another miracle had to take place over here, why this other sign or wonder needed to take place here in terms of opening up the earth and swallowing them as well, because it seems like despite every time we've moved further and finally there's going to be belief, there seems to be, there is again continually this ability of man to reject God. But as I said, the climate which exists right now, where they're not going, and they're not going immediately, and they're not entering the land so quickly, is one where people become, I don't know what the right term for this is, but there is a desperation in terms of their existence, or there is the sense of their existence that is wandering, and it's not a purposeful existence. All that their job is right now is to raise a better generation. By the way, that's a little... But isn't that really what our job always is? Is always. I know that. And now think of all Jewish history. I mean, every single time a generation has come to the realization, okay, so be extreme, Mashiach didn't come in my day. So what do I have to do? I have to raise a better generation. So that's a pretty important job. Exactly. I agree with you 100%. That's a pretty important job. And that's really doesn't seem to be what they're interested in. And you know, it's really just as a conclusion of all of this is, you know, to invest in the children. It's interesting because, you know, as it says in Tehillim, it says in the Chumash, uvenei korech lo meitu. And Chazal say, because they didn't believe him. He invested so much in trying to convince everybody else, his children ended up getting a good, probably his children were busy learning from cousin Moshe, and he was too busy, you know, working everywhere, you know, everything is dashed over. But the new generation that had a future and knew where they're going, they were invested in learning, and they were invested in staying with Moshe. They were invested in being educated. And this restless, wandering generation, which is lost, end up just becoming lost.